Frank Bufola, what was he doing?
He was our F1 resident manager.
From Rocketdyne.
And at Canoga Park.
Yes. Oh, okay.
And I got a Christmas card from him Christmas. He lives in Newport Richey, Florida. I have his phone number. I'll give that to Mother.
That's perfect, because I live in Miami.
He would probably remember more about the early days than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly when he started, but it was pretty early.
Okay.
I think when it was still off of funding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You said you might have some materials for me to look at.
I told you I have very little, and I told you why.
Sure, of course.
But you were asking me about my job, when they were, and all that.
This is your resume. That's great.
I found some of that.
Okay. All right, that's great.
Then I was still the F1 project manager for the last couple of years, but I didn't function there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was under control and was going smoothly, and they never even called me and asked me to help with the problem. But I was over on the space shuttle task team as the manager of the engine work.
Okay.
I can't give you this one, but there's a let's see, there's some words in here. A time limited basis.
Mm-hmm.
I was still assigned paperwork. I was the F1 project manager the whole time. But it went on for over 2 years.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I actually started in October 69 and ran up, I think, until about 72.
Oh, I see. And then,
that's why I don't have much material.
I see.
When the program was terminated, I never was terminated as F1 project manager or given anything in writing that the Apollo program is shut down anyway. I was just over on the other, this is a time limited assignment, developing the shuttle engine.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now, when you say developing, that, because I was trying to get Sonny to clarify Marshall's involvement and Rocketdyne's involvement and how the two work together to basically produce the engine. Because,
our role was a management role, as far as prime responsibility is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And the work that Marshall did was kind of get your fingers in it enough, you know what's going on, so you can offer support and advice and.
Mm-hmm.
And help the project manager give direction and formulate the program and all that. It just to give us expertise, really.
Mm-hmm.
They had no real delineated responsibility over in Marshall for that. We had a resident manager at Rocketdyne. We had a resident manager for a while up at Edwards Air Force Base where the main part of the engine testing was going on.
That's right.
And thrust chamber testing.
Mm-hmm.
Component testing was pretty much was in Santa Susana. And we used the designated coordinators from the various labs to participate in our reviews and all that sort of thing, and went out on special problems and so forth.
Okay.
Like, we even had, like materials people and so forth. And they might have done some lab work too, along with it to try to help Rocketdyne on some of these things. We were using materials that they had very little experience with in some cases, because of temperatures and temperature vary versus time and so forth, and kind of unique.
Okay.
Nobody had a charter other than the project manager, actually.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of a undefined role, and they, like the test lab, they ran these various tests. They got inputs from P&DE, Propulsion Vehicle Engineering, or S&M, or whatever it was in those days.
Mm-hmm. And you were involved in these other engines as well. In terms of management, so that, was it management or engineering? Your function.
My function was management. But I directed.
Okay, so that would involve specifically if, say, during testing or issues would come up that would require resolution on the Marshall side.
Yeah. Made those decisions or you know, if there was a special problem like the, well, we go back a step. We worked out the contract, first of all.
Oh, yes.
And followed through on that. But then if we, and we budgeted for that contract. Both, and there were two kinds. There was the development contract, and then there was, later years, there was a production contract for the deliverable engines.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Stage.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that included the personnel, like the personnel they had at Santa Susana, personnel they had down at Cape, some personnel coordinators in Huntsville, a few, not many, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, if we had special problems that needed, well, like in combustion stability, we had to go back and modify the contract. I think I've forgotten what we put in there, maybe $11 million or whatever. Initially, I'm not sure how much we put in eventually. For the extra work they had to do to solve a combustion stability problem. Because it was covered in general terms. They had to develop an engine, but this, it was obvious that it wasn't something you could bail out with. Without big overruns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we utilize, like I say, we utilize the technical people in the center to give us advice and recommendations, and they freely talk with the counterparts out at Rocket 9 too.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't prevent any of that, but the official reviews were done in an organized fashion. And we went through several different contracts through the program. As the initial contracts were cost plus fixed fee.
And that's right. That's what Sonny was telling you.
Yeah, and then NASA decided that the things should then be incentivized. And Richard Brown got involved with me in that one. He and I went up, as I remember, to Lewis, took a special course on incentive contracting.
Oh.
A few day course. And we, so the latter part of contracts were incentivized both for schedule, cost, and technical achievement. Three factors.
Okay.
And the technical achievements, in fact, Rocket 9 in those latter days, they met. They exceeded average on everything. They did well above average on everything.
Mm-hmm.
On the F1 engine.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran into a problem. Marshall also, well, we had people that GFP'd the propellers, locks and the fuel to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we had incentivized them to get off of quite a number of firings to give us confidence in their reliability.
This is government furnished.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Government furnished propellant. So.
Okay.
And they were delivered to the test stands at Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
So at one time, and I don't know if you guys are exaggerating, I never did see that many, but they were claiming we had 35 or 40 LOX trucks at a time. Up that head with unloading locks. We had strained the country's ability to deliver liquid oxygen during that F1 program.
So there wasn't a manufacturing facility at the Edwards test site. No. It was elsewhere.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you mean as far as propellants are concerned?
Yes, uh-huh.
Right. They didn't know it had to be delivered by truck. And the F-1 stands were on what we call Lehman Ridge, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've been there, but it overlooks Edwards Airstrip.
It's yes.
On an elevated area.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of down, I'd say Boron is almost north of it on the maps, you know. It's a little town over there. What made me think of that? One day, Don Santini called me. They were testing in early days, and something flew off. I don't remember now. Was it Nautilus, the skirt?
Oh, the extension, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something came off. He said the thing rolled all the way into Boron.
Now, his name, Sonny mentioned his name, Santini.
Yeah.
You think, is he still around? Is
he dead. He died. Died of heart attack.
I see.
Mm-hmm. He actually was the deputy manager for most of the time. Dave Aldridge was nominally the manager. And Dave was kind of an obstacle. So I started working directly with Santini, and we just bypassed him. He was just a figurehead. That's where it mattered to.
Yeah, Sonny said much the same thing.
So Santini was really running the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the combustion instability came along, Rocketdyne created a team, and I'm 86 years old, and my memory is beginning to fade.
Project First.
I can't remember names as well.
Well, of course.
But anyway, Paul Casnotes was a co-leader. He had been a J2 project manager. In fact, he was a J2 project manager.
Is this Marshall or Rocketdyne?
He's a Rocketdyne.
Okay.
They call their man program managers, and I was a project manager.
I see. Okay.
Okay. So, Casnotes and this other fellow started up this team. They did testing in a lab at Rocketdyne, some of it at Santa Susana, actually. And the other guy, he was an excellent worker, engineer, so forth. And he came down here and gave a presentation when we were pretty well in the program. It was, you know, they weren't getting the thing solved too quick. It was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Harry to get data of what's happening up in there. And this guy looked kind of, he gave a presentation, he was looking kind of pale, and I remarked on it. And about 2 weeks later, he just had a heart attack and dropped down. And so then it was left up to Paul Casnotes. He, Chad, ran that team, and the other ones came up with a solution. He did a good job. And
How do you think you spell it?
Casnotes. I'm going to give you his name, too.
Okay.
And he eventually left Rockland. He lives in Ventura, California now. Most of the year he's in Colorado Springs. That's where he recently retired. But he probably remembers more, and may have, I don't know if he has any paper at all, but he remembers more about the combustion instability problem than anybody.
Paul?
Casnotes. I've got it on a sheet of paper.
Okay.
Several people, and I'll give you that slip.
Oh, that's fine. That's great.
It's got some other people I wanted to mention, too.
Mm-hmm.
So occasionally something like that would come up, just kind of on the side.
Okay, let me ask you this. He's in Ventura, that's this number.
Yeah.
What have you written here?
Colorado Springs number.
Oh, all right.
But right now he's still in Ventura, pretty sure.
Okay.
I talked with him about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
He's one I'm still in contact with. We fished together. You did.
Oh, is
fly fish, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
About the only ones I'm in contact with.
Now, this Vince Wheelock produced that Rocketdyne book with another gentleman.
Okay, now Vince, yeah, I was going to tell you, that's his, he did archives work and helped some, maybe it was you, I don't know, but he was helping some book author.
Really?
At that Rocketdyne after he retired, and that was only about 2 years ago. I've got.
Well, yes, he was. He was working with someone, basically he became a co-author for this book titled Rocketdyne, Powering Humans into Space. And the AIAA published that. I think that when you mentioned that, that's what occurred to me, it was. And then there's Frank Bafola, Newport Richie, you mentioned him.
Yeah. I'll give you something.
Okay.
Vince worked here for a while, I knew him, but he contacted me a couple of years ago. I got two copies. Well, you don't need this copy. This was taken in the early shuttle engine days.
Oh, yeah.
And he couldn't, this was Mike Markin, who was, I've forgotten what his title was now, even. That's Bill Brown, he was president of Rocketdyne at the time. That's Bob Thompson, who's the manager of the shuttle program manager at Houston. That's my picture, and that's Paul Casanova, the guy I was telling you about right there.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, he wrote me. This has two phone numbers on it.
Okay.
And
yeah, Westlake Village, okay.
I think I've got, may have, I don't know if I have another number on that slip I just
Oh, yes.
Gave
you. Here, right here. 818-889. Oh, it's the home phone number. 0369, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this was, is that the address he showed?
Westlake Village, yes, uh-huh. And it's
now, he knows more about what's in the Rocketdyne archives than anybody.
Okay.
That's probably one.
Very valuable person to speak with.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And he's a nice guy. He won't have trouble talking with him. I haven't talked with him in a couple of years, but Paul went to retirement for the Rocketdyne president about 2 months ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And he told me Vince Wheelock asked him about me. So I know he's still around.
Okay.
Tell some of these others, I'm not sure.
Yes, okay.
So, anyway, right. This is kind of got all over.
Well, this is, you can hang on to that.
I got another copy of that.
Oh,
you don't want that anyway.
It shows the shuttle engine there. That.
Yeah.
Are there any of the photographs you have in there that you can show me?
Not much. I'm going to get some of those. I don't have very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you about Harold Hall.
Mm-hmm.
When the program ended, apparently he took retirement. I was physically over another in the building and didn't even know it.
Yeah.
And he had been the kind of, I guess, voluntary custodian or whatever, of all the graphic type stuff.
Is that right? Okay.
He kept that file, and when he went retired, I guess everything was just being thrown away. And he took a stack of these things home. I'll show you an example of one in a minute.
Okay.
And in that, it was a training document on F1. It's got a lot of detail about everything, all the components and everything. And a friend of mine got interested in it, and I borrowed it from Harold, and he made a copy of it. But he died, and his wife's up in North Carolina somewhere, so I hoped I could get a copy of that to show you. But Harold should still have that. And this, I copied this from one of the books he has, the F1 schematic.
Yes.
And it's on the control circuit. You know, one of the unique things about the F1 is it kind of bootstrapped up on its operated the valves on the pressure from the fuel pump discharge. It came up, as the pressure came up, it operated things in sequence. It wasn't electrically operated like most of them are, or some other way.
Mm-hmm. I see, okay.
Now you could go down to Allied Photocopy and take these kind of things that I have and make copies if you wanted to.
Yes.
I've got a lot more.
Well, look at this.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah,
this would look great as color in the book.
Yeah, right. That's a good.
Very nice.
One more of those things. Look after that one, I think.
Okay.
One more of those.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a picture, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, Harold Hall has the original of that.
Is that right?
I just happened to make copies of that much.
Okay.
Just my own information recently.
Okay.
Oh, in the last year, sir. In the last year, I think.
Okay. All right, great.
But you're welcome to take that one.
Well, what I can do is I can even scan these into my computer with my scanner, and then I, you know, it as good as the original. It wouldn't be a second generation. Then I'll just mail these back to you.
Took it, or Richard took it. We both took pictures about a year, maybe a year ago, for the one out in Marshall.
Oh yeah, I saw that today.
Mm-hmm. And somebody compiled all something on all the liquid engines back a long time ago. Got various engines in there that you might particularly interested in. I think you got some picture of Goddard in there. So this is a V2. S3D, that was a Jupiter.
Yes, yeah, Sonny was mentioning that.
And let's see, H1 was the successor to that one, which was a sophisticated version.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
It was used in its first stage of the S1 of the Saturn 1. And the H1, and there's even a little bit on F1 in here, but it's pretty elementary, but it might be, well, there's a little sketch, description of the F1, and there's a description of the flow diagram.
Oh, yeah.
Simplified version.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Some of that might be of interest to you. I don't know. There's a J2, which you're not interested in.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to borrow that.
Okay. Let me take a look at it. And,
turn it full lead if you want.
Sure. Whatever.
If you don't go up in the box, I don't care.
Okay.
And this is this is the kind of thing that Harold has files on. And this guy, this is mostly Edwards. Some of it's missing.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Firings, a little brief description of what you're looking at. Some of it may.
That would be very valuable to me. I appreciate that. Because photo illustration is very, very hard to come by.
You know what happened? We sent all this stuff to archives. Apparently, GSA over in Atlanta has the archives, is what I understand.
Yeah,
they destroyed.
Mike Wright, what's that?
After 5 years, they destroyed, I've been told. Right after I retired, they hired somebody to do a history on this shuttle engine.
Yes.
To write it up, and I said, when they called me, somebody out there, Sonner called me and asked me if I'd talk to her. I said, yeah, but why don't you request the files that we sent over to the archives? And she said, this girl told me that that after 5 years, the GSA destroyed them. So that they aren't worth anything. You know, as a program, And periodically, as the program went on, well, first of all, a lot of this stuff was classified. We had confidence that a lot of things were classified, the components and on the engine back in those days. We didn't want the Russians to have it.
Sure.
And so people didn't take it home with them, you know, because it's classified. Plus, any eventually, when anything that did go, files fill up, we periodically would unload it, ship it over to Atlanta. And the other part, the shredder truck came around periodically, and the rest of it we dump in the shredder truck. So.
I know, it's just like the paper builds up and builds up, and what do you do with it all?
Yeah, and that's why it's hard to find any history written. Oh.
This is a fantastic, this is the heat exchanger, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it got a little burium on the opposite pages, maybe, on each one of these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heat exchanger on test facility at Component Test Lab 3.
That would have been at Santa Susana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that's great. Here's another view of it. In a way, that's the lighting is better on that one, almost. Yeah, yeah.
You can take that at your leisure and go through it.
That's great. I appreciate that.
Questions.
Mm-hmm.
But Harold, like I say, Harold Hall.
I'll give him a call, yes.
And, of course, probably Rocketdyne probably has, I assume, might have complete files. I don't know what they have.
Okay. Fuel pump. Wow. This is great. Really good. This is what I was hoping to find. So.
That's the only example I have of it.
Well, what I'll do is I'll scan. Oh, here's the furnace brazing. Look at that. In color, no less. Look how hot that is. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. This is wonderful. Ah, production line, look at that. Mm-hmm. Great, great, this is wonderful. Big help to me.
Yeah, I thought you'd like some of that. You probably maybe got something from the marshals, from the public affairs people.
Believe it or not, no. I'm going back out there tomorrow, and maybe Mike can put me in touch with their people out there. Maybe they have stuff like this.
Here's just an announcement that F1 and G2 will qualify, publicity release.
That's important. Yeah, look at that. Marshall Star.
Here's when Sonny and I, switched jobs. Actually, I was doing the same thing I was doing before, but I was project manager, set of deputies.
That would be a great photo to find. I have a couple of pictures of him in the Lunar Rover book when he went out to General Motors in California, but nothing like that.
There's something about the
sort of an anniversary thing.